Chapter 4, verse 13.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And it is good news, and the good news right now is today is Wednesday Live. And I'm David Francoeur. I'm kind of taking Jonathan's seat because he's out of the state, as it were, enjoying some time with his family. We have Karen Hubbard with us today. Karen, say hello.
Hello.
Hello. And we also have a wonderful guest with us, Keith Masters, the street witness. We're going to go to you in a minute, Keith, but we do have some prayer requests, and Karen has them, I believe.
Yes, we do have a few prayer requests.
You want to get those on the air?
Yes. And the first one is, not sure who it is that wrote this in, but they're prayer requests for Tommy, Antonio, Marcus, all the grandchildren, that they will accept the Lord Jesus into their hearts. And for Cynthia, for her health and to have a live to a good full age. So, Father, we lift up this prayer request to you. Father, we just speak salvation to this family, Lord God, because that seems to be evident. Father, that the salvation over and above everything is important to you, God, and important to this sister. Jesus. So we lift them up to you now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray you'll speak to each one of them, Lord, to Tommy, Antonio, Marcus, and all the grandchildren, Lord God, that you would draw them to yourself, even this day, Lord God, that they would come to know the saving love of Jesus Christ. And we thank you. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you for Cynthia and that you would give her good health and that she would live to a good, full age, just as you promise in your word, Lord. And we thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And wow. Do we have this other one?
Yeah, well, go ahead
for
that. Yes.
Because sometimes we get busy and then we
I know, we forget to pray. We shouldn't do that.
So this says, to fellow believers, please pray that God would heal my right eye. I've been getting blurry vision for a while. And they were going to the eye doctor. So this was a couple of weeks ago. And they also have elevated PSA levels. So, Father God, we just lift up this brother to you, Brother John, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray, God, that you would touch his right eye, Lord, and that you would clear his vision, Lord, because you are the healer. Jesus, you said that healing is in the atonement. And we just declare healing over John's eyes today, right now, in the name of Jesus. We speak life to him. We speak healing to him in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask that that PSA level would be at its proper place, Lord God. Father, that you would deliver him and set him free.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for touching John today.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
And lastly, our friend Joyce. The wonderful supporter of the station.
Yes.
She has a broken hip. Please pray. So, Father God, we lift up Joyce to you, Lord. Father, I just pray that your peace would be upon her, God. Father, that whatever she has had surgery-wise, Father God, that everything would heal up properly. And, Lord, that your the balm of Gilead would touch her now in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would put all the bones back together the way that they should be, Lord, the way that you created them. And I just speak your comfort and peace over her now. We just rebuke any pain that may be in her body. We ask you to touch her and bless her today in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for healing, folks. And I'm going to use that as a segue to introduce again our beloved brother, Keith Masters, a street witness. And I got to tell you, Keith, the first time I met you, the anointing was of the Holy Spirit's all over you, brother. I know you got a powerful street ministry, bringing people to Christ. Tell us what's on your heart today, brother.
You know, David, there's no coincidences with God.
No, none.
There's no coincidences with God. And for some reason, I brought a book in today that I wanted to share with which was written by Andrew Womack, a pastor. He's on TV. And it's A Better Way to Pray. And it says, if your prayer life is not working, consider changing directions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we opened up the segment here with people seeking prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer is such an essential part of the relationship that we have with Jesus.
Amen.
And in the book, it says that it's not just about asking for stuff and trying to be healed, or, you know, with our situations, but it's to start praising the Lord and walking in that praise of praising God all the time, and to be living in there. And if I could just read a little segment here.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So it says, because most people are ignorant of a problem that they need urgency of this problems. Most people are ignorant with their problems. They need an urgency occupies a large percentage of prayer. If telling God about problems and how bad they are were removed from people's prayers, not much would be left. And that's why he's advising most people. And this is a little comical here. He says he's advising most women to quit praying for their husbands.
I learned that a long time ago.
It says, and this is just the point here, where the wife is praying, oh God, my husband beats me, abuses the kids, and these are serious issues, yes, but it says, and even kicks our dog. He spends our money drinking, gambling, and buying dirty magazines. He's a complete reprobate. They tell God how bad he is for 45 minutes before closing the prayer with, but I believe you're going to save him in Jesus' name.
Mm.
So the point is for 5 seconds of faith and 45 minutes in unbelief, rehearsing the problem. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Womack is saying to spend 45 minutes in faith.
Amen.
And not rehearsing the problem. So, and then they want to, you know, they ask me, why am I not being encouraged? Because it's not an encouraging prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is to be encouraged when you're praying, and to know that God is right there, and that God does, with God all things are possible.
What you're talking about, what he's talking about there is it's how we think as people. You know, if our prayers are shaped by our humanity, we're already starting off on the wrong foot.
Right, right.
But what you're talking about is in that reverse, letting our prayers be shaped by our relationship with God and our understanding of him.
Right, right. Because the war is in the mind.
Yeah.
Right? The spiritual war is in the mind. And that's what affects the heart. So if we change what we're thinking with a renewed mind and into the heart.
I thought I did. What? Oh. we have our little electronics, you know.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So I lost a little bit of my attention there. But yeah, so the spiritual battle is in the mind.
Amen.
And so our prayer can be affected by the spiritual battle that's going on.
Yep.
And so to spend more time in prayer, worshiping and adoring the Lord.
Amen.
Is really opens up doors more than people realize.
Well, you know, the word says, you know, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And you know, the battle is in the mind. So you got all these things going on, you know, you worry about your kids, your husband, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all that time spent on that, you know, it's just the enemy keeping you distracted. So when you submit all of that to the Lord, your mind, then your attention, putting your attention on the Lord, is your way of defeating the enemy.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You know, you're looking at him and you're not looking at the problem.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Keith, you have what I would certainly say is a frontline ministry. You know, when you talk about a street witness, that's not a generic street. I mean, that's not a metaphor. You're
no.
out there.
On the street.
On the street. On literally the street. On the street, on being the street. Led by the Holy Spirit. And so talk to us for a minute about, we talk about prayer. Undoubtedly, people, you're praying for people out on the street. So that's a practical application of what you just talked about.
It's a practical application, and, you know, praying for people. 2 days ago, I had a situation where it sometimes it's so fast. There was somebody in a car. I was out on the street, and they yelled something out of the window. So I ran over to the car and handed him tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, it's just in a split second that he gets a message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to be able to share the word of God, because now I don't know where that message is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in him.
Amen.
So we pray for him.
Yes.
The prayers are for him.
Prayers are for him.
Prayers are for him.
And when you're out on the street, Keith, I mean, you are being led by the Spirit. It's like at the moment. It's not like it's like us right now. We're live. We're not scripted.
Right.
right. And so you're not either. You don't know when you leave your house. Yeah, maybe you have an idea, right? But you don't really know where God's going to take you, who he's going to bring you to meet, to share the gospel with.
No, I don't. And that's, and I want to tell you, I love it, because God, the Lord brings people into our lives, into my life, and I don't always see them again. I don't know, you know, I don't see them again. But it's there's purpose there.
Amen.
There's purpose there. The Lord brings these people into my life with purpose. And as Paul writes, right, one man puts the seed in, and another man waters.
Amen.
So you don't know where it goes, but you know, it's dropping seeds.
Amen. I would love to hear a story from your encounters on the street. It can't be a long story.
No.
but you know, we're talking again about this, and is there one story that comes to mind that's very powerful in terms of how God, you know, went out on the street and somebody really met Jesus in a powerful way?
Yeah. This I don't if I've told the story about the boy that cut his wrist from his hand up to his elbow.
Mm.
So he cut his arm lengthwise.
Yeah,
and he was intoxicated when he did it, and he didn't like his life anymore, and he just wanted to commit suicide. He was intoxicated at the time, and he realized, I guess, the Lord just came upon him, and he just sealed up his cut as he was bleeding with Elmer's glue.
Wow.
With Elmer's glue, he sealed up his arm, and the mark is there. The whole, you know, the whole seal of the glue is there. And I had him in the street. I took him in my car. I got him clothes. He said he was looking for work. I put him in my car. We went to the store. We got him clothes. He said he needed an education because he had a talent. The Lord blessed him with changing motors. And I said, you don't need to go to school.
Hmm.
You don't need to go to school. He thought he had to go to school. He's only 18 years old, and he's trying to kill himself because he thinks he's got all these hardships in front of him. He just came out of a recovery center down in South Florida, down in Delray, and for drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And we sat there, and I read Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. And to this day, he contacted me about 6 months later.
Mm.
About 6 months later, he went back home to his family. He didn't go to a mechanic school. He's working. He's employed. The grace of God is all over him. It was an amazing, amazing story. And the thing of it is that God showed me my purpose out on the street.
Amen.
And he's saved. He's
Praise
saved
God.
Today.
Amen. This is where, you know, as they say, the rubber hits the road, man.
The rubber hits the road.
Us and God being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
And you're bringing, you know, you couldn't plan something as wonderful as that.
No.
You know?
No.
I know I couldn't anyway, you know. But, and there's something that, as you've been sharing, and I'm really blessed by what you have to offer, Keith.
Well, thank you.
But the Lord's been saying to me, you know, normally when we have the end of an interview, Jonathan always says to the person, please pray for our area, for whatever. But I think God's put on your heart, Keith, a prayer that he wants you to offer on the air today for somebody, first name only, if it's a person or for an event. I don't really know. but there's something bubbling up inside of you that I think the Lord would like you to put into prayer. Would you do that?
Sure, sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father God, for your presence and your goodness and your mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we pray now, Father, Lord, for the homeless and the addicted, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you, Lord, for deliverance. We ask you, Lord, for eyes to be opened, for ears to be open, Lord, mm-hmm. to hear your word, to see your word, to bring messengers and laborers out into the street, Lord, for your salvation. Your grace and your mercy mm-hmm. abound, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, and we just ask you for deliverance mm-hmm. of the addictions, Father God, to drop chains on these people. We ask you, in Jesus' name, Father, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Now, before you go, we can't all leave. There'd be nothing but dead air. But tell us, this is, again, Keith Masters you're listening to, a street witness. Powerful ministry, frontline stuff. If you want people to get a hold of you, maybe to provide assistance or whatever, how would they do that?
You can contact me at my phone number I can give out. It's 212-514-5372.
Okay.
They can contact me at thecaddymaster@gmail.com.
Okay. Sounds like you're a golf guy.
I am.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
My last name is Masters.
Well, right. Exactly. Right. You're not wearing a green jacket tonight.
No,
so
he does wear golf attire quite often.
Yes, he does. Well, I noticed that, but I wanted him to mention it. And so, caddymaster at what?
At gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Yeah.
The caddymaster.
Okay.
And if I could, David, real fast, on Wednesdays, I pick up food for the homeless vets. And I would just like if I could mention a restaurant that just pours out their heart to the Lord and shares their food with all of these homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
They're over in Palm Beach, and it's Fiwi Caribbean Restaurant over at 410 Avernia Street. And I just want to praise the Lord and bless them for the heart that they have towards mm-hmm. these homeless vets, that they shell out food all the time on Wednesdays. So
it's good
I just
to give
want
a shout out.
Thank you.
It's good to give a shout out
thank
for them.
You for
God
them.
Bless them and their ministry.
God bless them and their ministry. Amen.
Keith, brother, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, David.
I tell you what, I'm not known for prophecy, but I do believe you're going to be coming back at some point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's great to be here. I love being here with you guys.
Thank you.
Yep, you guys are family. Thank you so much.
Oh, and you as well, my
God
brother.
God bless you. God bless you.
We're going to go to a wonderful tune, Revival's in the Air, and don't you know that it is?
It sure is.
On the wind, forgiveness like the tide rolling in, taking up the space where shame has lived, receiving all that you died to give. Let the wind blow. Let the tide roll till the earth knows you're a God of love. Oh, I can see a valley of dry bones, rattling, moving bone to bone. You breathe the breath of life. all the glory to the God of love.
And we're back with Wednesday Live. This is David Francoeur. Karen Hubbard is here as well. And we have a full day today. What a wonderful day. We have at this moment in time, John Nelson with Families Recover, a powerful ministry that reaches out to bring healing to families that have been literally beaten up by addiction. And I'm going to ask John to talk a little bit more about that later. But right now, John, you're here to talk about an event coming up, and you have a special guest with you.
We have an incredibly special guest, Bob Belisari, great friend, PGA pro. He's been helping with our tournaments for years when we were down at PGA National. This year, they're taking over Club Med's course.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to be their first tournament. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, I would be. Okay. And Bob, it's welcome to WCNO.
Thank you, Dave.
To be a part of this, and I'm grateful that you're helping John here. He needs help.
I need all the help I can get.
Well, as you can see with my shirt today, I'm trying to help him with his sartorial splendor as well.
Yes, yeah, we have to explain to those, because being radio, you know, we're wearing radio clothes too. Bob is wearing a beautiful kind of orange polo shirt. I guess it's a golf shirt, really. It's not a polo shirt.
A little on the coral side.
Yeah, kind of orangey coral. And then, but John is really understated, wearing kind of a seafoam green t-shirt.
Well, I came from work. I still have
yeah, right,
I
exactly.
to work for a living.
And you have to go back. So, well, listen, tell us, this is a fundraiser for Families Recover, right?
Correct.
Tell us about this golf tournament. I see it's coming up in November, and we're promoting this early because we want to make sure everybody gets on board.
Absolutely.
And we'll probably have some spots that we'll produce later on. Other opportunities on Wednesday Live, but tell us about this.
Well, it's our eighth tournament, and we were at PGA National for years. And Sheriff Snyder was a big part of that. Bob always got us some great stuff. A lot of people from the Honda Classic. But being bred, it's our 10th, we're a 10th year birthday yesterday.
Oh,
familiesrecover.org.
Happy birthday.
Families Against Drunk Driving, a decade old.
Wow.
It almost makes me feel younger.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's exciting to be able to team up with Bob, Reimagine Golf, and the Treasure Coast Golf Association, which he leads, and bring the tournament to our backyard.
Right.
You know, and it's exciting to be able to be at Club Med because it's in my backyard. But we can impact a lot more people here locally, business-wise.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Bob, talk a little bit from your perspective about your excitement over this tournament.
Well, I first would say I'm from Boston, so I'm wicked excited.
Yeah,
he's wicked.
All right, yes.
And so
we have another Bostonian
knows
here.
What that means?
Yeah. Oh,
you have to be from there.
Yeah. We'll do another show on that later.
There we go.
But
amen.
It's been a pleasure and honor really to help John and what he's done to change lives on the Treasure Coast here. And so our Reimagine Golf company, that's myself, Randy Cavanaugh, PGA member, and Chuck Nebbles, PGA member. Chuck was at Mariner Sands for 20 years, iconic PGA member, unbelievable guy in this Martin County area. So we teamed up, and it was Chuck's idea over a hamburger last summer to do. He said, you know, there's no golf association on the Treasure Coast, nothing that binds the community together, nothing that puts its arms around everybody in golf. So from that conversation, we have the Treasure Coast Golf Association. We're going to change lives. We're going to drive economic benefits to this area. So we have a great vehicle to help anybody that, if you can't spell the word golf, that's who we want for Treasure Coast Golf Association. This is not the U.S. Open. It's not the PGA Championship. And so we have the Treasure Coast Golf Association based at our Club Med golf course. And so, yeah, we're honored to have John will be our kicking it off for the first golf event. And we're going to do a lot of really innovative things with Reimagine Golf. We created that because the golf industry is sort of nice to have tradition and history, but not so sort of nice because it holds you back. So we're all about retention, the retention of the golfers, the experience at the golf course, and it's a far-reaching platform. We have a Reimagine Golf, but also Treasure Coast Golf Association close to home here. We have a lot innovative that we're doing.
Fantastic. And then along comes John and a fundraiser for Families Recover. And I know I've been working in nonprofits for most of my, all of my professional life. And if there's one thing that's constant among nonprofits is there's always a golf tournament.
Golf tournaments.
Yeah. And so this is what we're speaking now to those folks that you say it's you're reaching out to people that can't spell the word golf. But I'm sure you'll get some, you know, longtime duffers as well, right, in this, whoever wants to sign up. Because, John, this is raising money for the ministry that you started. God started it through you.
Yes.
Would you talk for a moment about Families Recover? It's a powerful ministry.
Well, we started as Families Against Drunk Driving 10 years ago. Personal tragedies, some stuff going on, and there was no real street-level nonprofits nationally trying to make a difference at the street level. Yeah. So that came about, and then 3 years into it, we added familiesrecover.org because of the opiates, the heroin, and now more than anything, human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just exciting. It's tough. You know, last year, COVID destroyed the donations. Yeah. You know, we raised zero, pretty much. But thankfully, through God's grace, we're able to be here today. I mean, you make adjustments, right?
Oh, I have to, right.
So, you know, we're looking at opening up a house in my girl Jenny's name. She was a victim of this. And we're also now working with SAMHSA and Pastor Graham up north to get a educational program that's free to the schools, which they charge up to $20,000 a school. There's a company doing it.
Wow.
To talk about these things at the fifth grade level going into middle school and then the eighth grade level going into high school. It's going to be a free seminar and, you know, an assembly for the parents, the teachers, and the students.
Mm-hmm.
It's, more than anything, it's going to be directed towards the parents and the teachers.
Amen.
Because the more education they have about what to look for, we're going to keep the kids' attention for maybe 5 minutes. We'll be there for 30 or 45.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's a, you know, SAMHSA's an organization out of Washington that provides all of the literature for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been approved by the students, or not the students, the school boards nationally, so we can actually solicit to go in and do these things. You know, it's education.
Absolutely. Powerful stuff.
Education.
And it's that kind of education that gives you experience. And that's what I was going to ask you, Bob. In the work you've done in the past and certainly in the present time, where you're trying to incorporate it, a lot of age groups in a wonderful sport that teaches you discipline, rules, and working together, even though I've always thought in watching golf that it was the individual out there whacking the balls, trying to make the par or below par. But really, there's a sense of team, isn't there, as well? And how does that apply? What have you seen with the kids? I'm particularly concerned about the kids that you're working with. Well, how have you seen that bless them?
The game of golf is, I'm a little biased maybe, but it's the most purest form of what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a bad lie in the fairway, a bad lie in the rough. You go in the bunker, you have a bad hole. How do you overcome things? Life's going to throw some things at you. So golf is the perfect vehicle for kids. It's really perfect vehicle for anybody. You could be an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
and you're starting a new business. How do you get through the bad days? How do you get through the bad holes? How do you get through, that ball is sailing so beautiful, and oh my goodness, what happened? I went in the water. You know, the unexpected.
Yes.
So there's a lot of metaphors that the game of golf uses for life, really, in general. And you know, people do think about it, Dave, as a more individual sport. You watch the PGA Tours and the LPGA Tours, but golf is about relationships. There's no better vehicle for relationship building than golf, than what John's doing and has done. And there's so many good nonprofits and there's so many good causes out there, but it is the perfect vehicle for bringing people together, deepening relationships, and helping others. It's just, you know, we could be sit here for hours talking about how valuable that is.
Absolutely. And it really becomes clear, I think, to anyone listening that this is one, and certainly many other vehicles, but this is one right now that we can talk about and encourage, especially where we bring our kids. And there's I'm sure there's a lot of kids that are coming from tough homes.
Mm-hmm.
John, you know some of them. And you know how they really do need discipline. And even though golf is not thought of as a team sport, what I'm hearing you, Bob, and you, John, talk about is that There is a team. You talk about relationships. And when you bring kids in to train them and nurture them, you have to have a team concept.
That's right.
It's yes. Accountability.
Accountability.
You know, that type right. of thing. There. And when I was with the PGA of America, I helped start this team golf for junior for kids. It's junior league golf. Mm-hmm. And so it's fantastic. And that's bringing kids together that normally wouldn't play golf together. You might have an 8-year-old small little beginner with a 12, 13-year-old more advanced. Well, they're together on the golf course. And you know what happens? The 12-year-old mentors the 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just really, really fascinating how that can work. And it's I grew up playing hockey. I may have or may not have thrown an elbow now and then. but so many sports, you're trying to get around the rules. And
sure.
with golf, you're out there, you're self-disciplined, you're calling the rules on yourself. Nobody knows that mm-hmm. what you might have done, but you see this all the time in golf that, no, my ball moved. Nobody saw that, but that's inherent in the game.
And you're talking about, especially for young people, building a sense of integrity.
Correct.
Which is very important for all of life.
And the last four tournaments, we've actually gone to the high schools and brought out up to 16 kids.
Wow.
And separated them around on different teams.
Mm-hmm.
The last tournament, Maria Marino is a great pro, lives at PGA National, and they came in second.
Wow.
So we had two kids from South Fork.
Wow.
On the golf team, you know, playing at the at the Honda Classic and level, and it's
that's
like
incredible.
Here they are picking up a trophy.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Talk about them being blessed and feeling much better about themselves, and how important that is if you have kids that have come through some very negative, painful environments growing up. Well, tell us, you can speak again. Our time is almost up for this segment, John, and I want to make sure you talk again about this golf event, this fundraiser for Families Recover.
Okay, we're looking for businesses. We do whole sponsorships. We try to keep each category to one real estate office, one construction company. We want them to get everything we can, because not only are we doing shout outs here, Channel 5 is going to be out, we're their advocate for drug overdose, and banners, and just, you know, it's a great outlet. You get your kids, it's coming out on a Friday at noon, so everyone gets a half day. You get to see your name on a tee box. You know, there's just a lot of things that come from it. And people forget, you know, it costs money to run a nonprofit, and it's like you're constant. You were in the business your whole life. You're constantly asking for money.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're going up against hundreds of other people locally. But we try to give them the bang for the buck.
Absolutely.
Know? We try to give it for that. And it's businesses. We like to. I'm a small contractor, and I work with all small contractors. We try to, you know, we're family here, and like Bob's talking about, we're here building a nest of like-minded people.
Amen.
Whether you've had a drug addiction or not, you know, you're touched somewhere in your life by something that's changed your family.
Absolutely. So. And knowing you, John, and having met you, Bob, you're both invested in improving the lives of the people that you work with, and bringing more people on board to have that experience. That excites me. Again, our time is up for today, but I'll tell our listeners, we've got copies of the application for the golf, the tournament on November 5th, 2021. It starts at noon.
Yes.
You say it's a shotgun start. That's not like a shotgun wedding. No. I mean, No,
maybe.
It's a different story, yeah. As a pastor, I've been to a couple of those. Kind of interesting, but anyway. We want people to give us a call at the radio station if you missed any phone numbers for this, and that would be 888-221-8990 is our toll-free number, and we will give you all the information that you need, including, I think we can make copies of this.
Absolutely.
And hand them out so you can actually apply. And the earlier the better, right,
John? We're putting a link up on the website. We're working on it now for familiesrecover.org.
And then we'll link with that on our Facebook page.
We are linked with that already on your website, but that's www.familiesrecover.org.
Yes, sir.
And we look forward to a huge turnout. John and Bob, thank you so much for coming. May God richly continue to bless you.
Thank you.
In your lives and ministries, and we hope to see you back. In fact, we want to know how it's going.
Absolutely.
And after the aftermath, we want to hear from you after the thing is over. tell us how God blessed you then. Absolutely. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless.
Isn't it just like heaven? When you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden. When every eye is on you, can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like heaven?
This is the house of miracles.
And here we go. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. I was just getting into the music. I was talking to Kim, who was going to be introduced here by Steve Mushlitz. Is that how I'm pronouncing it? Mushlitz, or is
it? My father would be a little more like Mushlitz.
Okay. Well, I don't want to mispronounce names.
It's been pronounced a lot of ways, so you're pretty close to being imperfect on it.
I am. Okay. Yeah. Well, I will give God perfection.
Amen.
If I can get in the neighborhood, that's all right.
Yeah.
Steve is a man, many of you are familiar with him because we've had him on the air before, with Wheels from the Heart. And I'm going to have Steve talk a little bit about that. But first, because most of you know Wheels from the Heart, is Steve and those who work with him are led to find or be given or to buy older cars that can be somewhat refurbished.
Rebirth. Let's call it a rebirth. Kind of like
us,
right? It's a rebirth.
And given to single moms so that they can get a job or keep a job and do it all, take their kids and everything to where they need to go.
I mean, basically, I tell people, you know, like, just close your eyes and think about everything you do daily with a car, and then try to figure out how to do it without a car.
Yeah.
And well, it'll be tough. Overwhelming from doctor's appointments, grocery stores. I mean, we can go on and on about the need and what that need fills when you have a car.
That's right. But we have on the phone Kim and Steve. Introduce Kim to our audience.
Wow. Glory to God. You know, I am so grateful, God, for Kim's heart. What a fabulous woman her and her husband are. People, you know, she heard me speak on the radio about a need. This was a couple months ago. I have a single mom. She has three children. One of her sons, has Down syndrome. So she struggles to get him to the doctor's appointment. She didn't have a car, and she's currently pregnant. So not only was the need of a car, it was more specific because we need a van. Because a car, the kids couldn't safely, they're not, you know, allowed to be in the back seat, three kids or four kids. So it had to be a van. So now I'm even asking God to be like, oh, give me the color, the size, you know, I'm being a little more demanding. I need a van. Well, Kim's heart, she heard about the call and she called the radio station and said, you know, my husband and I have had this van for quite some time. It's been sitting here. He likes to tinker around with it. It's, you know, we'd like to offer that to that family.
Cool.
And then I reached out to Kim and we shared and we prayed and cried and she talked and she was, you know, we just kind of talked about life and everything. And then Kim said, you know, I sent her some pictures of the family that was getting the van. And then Kim called me up and said, you know, come get it. And then yesterday, Monica came, Elijah, her son, came. And my mechanic at BSO Automotive in Lake Worth, he donates a lot of his time to make sure these cars are safe and everything's done. It gives us an extremely good value to discount the car. He actually, you know, the van's a Toyota Sienna with 60,000 miles.
Wow.
I mean, you can't, that's a gift of all gifts. I mean, that car will run another 200,000 miles. So
absolutely.
Kim and her husband said, come get it. Picked it up. I sent the pictures. Praise God. Kim, I'm so thankful for you. You changed four people's lives. And then the trickle down from the people that have seen it, heard about it, witnessed it. You don't know how many people's lives you've touched and changed just by this gift.
Well, Kim, jump in here. And Steve's given us a lot of data, but tell us from your perspective what God got you to do and how it touched your life.
Am I on?
You are on, yes.
Okay, well.
Potentially 7.5 million people are listening to you right now. Not to get you upset.
I heard this on the radio channel, and I listen to WCNO all the time, and it's very inspiring. This is the first time I ever heard Steve. I don't know why, but when I listened, he was talking about a woman that had kids and rode her bike back and forth to work, and I said, oh my gosh. Now, at that time, I didn't even tell him I had a van. I said I had a vehicle. When I spoke to him on the phone, I said it was a van. God just spoke to me, and I didn't want my husband working on this anymore. COVID, it sat there for a year. Get rid of it. This woman needs it. And my husband literally said it. Will you quit taking my stuff away from me if I give it to you? Please, just take it if it's going to make you happy. When I contacted him, we had a little spit in the beginning because there is a waiting list for these vehicles.
Yeah.
They just can't pump them out fast enough for women that have no way to get around with children. And I was adamant about it. And when I talked to him again, and he sent me pictures, it touched my heart. I just can't tell you. And I want to tell you, if God, Jesus has paid your price. He's already paid it. And he doesn't ask anybody to drop down on his knees and beg. But I'm going to tell you what, I felt like he was begging me to do this. You got to do this. You just, and I'm encouraging anybody, if you think you've got a deluxe in your driveway that can't be used, please call Steve or CNO, WCNO, and his company is called Angels from the Heart.
Wheels from the Heart.
They will pick it up. No charge, pull it out of your driveway, fix it up with everybody that works with them, and they will give it to somebody that's in desperate need of a clunker. I was shown pictures and told that this woman never owned a car with an air conditioning. You know what? I get it. I've had a few of those myself. This is a wonderful thing to contribute to, and I feel blessed. I was feeling a little void and empty, and I know God is going to respond to this. He pointed me, and this is a wonderful thing. So if you don't know WCNO, hey, send $25 to him. If you don't know Steve, give him a call and tell him you've got a car for him. Mm-hmm. He's got people waiting. Unfortunately, we all don't have the money to give all the time. You could even give tires. If you have tires, they'll find some place for them to go.
Amen.
This is a wonderful thing to be involved in. And I'm glad. I'm really, really glad that she got the help she needed. And thank you, Steve.
Kim, you're awesome. And I've enjoyed talking to you and hearing your story. And this is a God thing, and this is what we do. You know, we're in this together. We're all in this together. We're a family, and you're part of our family. And we're so grateful for you and your husband. And I want you to make sure that you give him a huge shout out, and you tell him that I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
I will.
That he has changed this family's life. These four kids now have a much better chance. And
I thank you so much because I never, ever looked for recognition. I just thought this is where I was guided to. Please, this needs to go to this girl, this one girl. Who would have ever thought? I mean, really, you've got a van. This girl's got a lot of kids.
Wow,
a van comes available. Wow. Who did that? Wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Amen.
But, amen. You better believe it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right, Kim.
Thank you, Kim, for joining us today. Before you go, the Lord put it on my heart to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for you and your husband. So if you just allow me to come before the Lord. Father God, I thank you for Kim and her husband for the way in which you have opened their hearts over the years, that you have revealed yourself in so many powerful ways to them, and that without question, when you called them to do this, they gave the keys, they gave the van away so that someone could be blessed. Now I pray, Lord, they're not asking for a return of blessing, but I am asking, and I'm inviting all of my family to join me in asking that the rich outpouring of your grace for Kim and her family would move in such a powerful way that whatever needs they have, that you'd be seen meeting them today and in the days to come. Whatever needs that they have that come under the health or the finances or just peace in their hearts, Lord, that whatever it is that you see that they need, we are lifting them up to you right now. We are petitioning for them as we thank you, Lord, for the powerful way in which you have used them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Again, Kim, thank you so much for joining us. You did great. You may have a future in radio. I just want you to think about that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope I can help you again in the future.
I'm sure you can. God bless. Thank
God
you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Man, I tell you what a blessing.
Wow.
Yeah. And so while we're thinking about it, and Kim was so good to invite people to call you, Steve, so... And I call you Steve,
yeah.
But give us a phone number that you want people to call if they have, especially if they have a car.
Well, I mean, first you can always call the radio station.
Right.
They can direct you. My phone number is 561, pretty easy to remember, 445-7444. I think God created that number for easy remembering for people. I've had that for 20 years. Everybody says, that's such a cool number. So,
yeah.
561-445-7444. Wheelsfromtheheart.org is the website. You can donate anything that's on your heart. $10 can put help kick gas, you know, anything, tires, anything, any donations can help contribute. And as we gather together, we can raise money to buy cars as well. And like Kim said, if you have a car you're not using, a lot of times, you know, it was a 1999 Toyota Sienna. And in the world's view, that's an old car. Who wants that? That car is this extreme value, you know, and now think about how much that's worth to a family, and it just sat there. So if you have a car that you could donate, we can get it back on the road.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a starting point. We always say, you know, we're a hand up, not a handout. So that car is a 6 month, a year, 2 years. We don't ever know how long. I don't have a crystal ball, but I do know that if Christ is in it, and surrounds with love, he'll keep that car on the road.
Amen.
And then that opens the doors for the new job and stuff. So again, it's wheelsfromtheheart.org. You can go onto the website, you can call me, you can call the radio station. We can send a tow truck to pick up the car. You do get a tax write-off now, you understand. You get a Kelley Blue Book. I can find the value of a Kelley Blue Book and give you a tax donation as well. A lot of times you go to trade your car and they give you nothing. I had a guy the other day went in and they offered him $800. He said, that's crazy. I would rather give it to you because I know what you can do with it is tenfold. So he actually called me and he donated the car. So we're now in the process of getting new tires and brakes and making sure it's perfect. And it will be gifted relatively soon to one of the many recipients that are in line to get a car.
I imagine. And if you go on the website, people can donate to that on that website, right?
Yeah, wheelsfromtheheart.org. You have a donate button. You can bang, hit it right there and... you know, I mean, I could give you guys so many stories how God's blessed this ministry and really, and you know, it's a calling, you know, from the men to take care of the women, the children, and the orphans. And today, for me, and I'm gonna do a cry out. This is really on my heart. The real pandemic today is the single mom.
Yeah,
single moms do not get A, the recognition, and B, the support they need. And we need to step up because it's biblical. Us men, we need to take care of the children, the women, orphans. And today's single mom is a modern-day widow. The husband might not be dead physically, but in life and in spiritual, usually he's dead. So we need to take care of these people. And a car opens the doors. I mean, it's, you know, I can't even tell you how many things it does, you know, for the moms.
I know for many people... you don't think about it. You have one or two cars in the driveway, you know, when you want to go somewhere, you just get in it and go.
I actually had a girl one time share with me, she said, hey, I got to go to Publix three times a week. And my heart was thinking it was a financial burden. She said, no, Steve, I cannot carry the groceries and my three kids at the same time. So now she has to go three times. I don't want to go to Publix once a week. It's just not a fun experience for me. I don't like food shopping. You know? But I couldn't imagine having to go three times.
Yeah, man. Because you've reached out to, the Lord has used you to reach out into their lives to change, literally change their lives for the better. And God bless you, bro. I just, you know, I love you, brother in Christ, and you've,
love you too.
You've really impressed, God has impressed us because you're not the kind of guy that likes to impress people now in Christ, but you get impressed by what he does.
Amen.
And we give him the glory. I know that that's your mindset and your heart set.
Can I share something
with
you? Yeah,
please.
It's on my heart. You know, it's funny. When I first accepted Christ many years ago, you know, I would listen to, you know, to pastors and advice from, you know, the wise. And they would tell me, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this. And you know, it's like, oh, what's the big deal? You know, what's bad about watching that movie? Or what do you mean I can't be alone with a woman in a room by mm-hmm. myself? And it just made no sense, but now it makes perfect sense. Everything mm-hmm. that I was so afraid to give up, it never gave me anything. It never fulfilled me. All the things that I heard that I had to get rid of in my life, I'm thankful now. I've been baptized. God's gotten rid of those things. I still struggle, and you will still struggle, and you still be tempted, because the devil wants you on his side. He wants you as Tom Brady. That's not going to happen anymore. So I'm just challenging everybody. I know you guys. I know you men out there struggle to give up a lot of things. But I'm telling you, it's a cry to die to self. Once you die to self to serve others, your heart will be filled with more joy, more love, more surrounded by the people that will lift you up and speak into your life than you can ever imagine.
Amen. We have about a minute before the noon program is going to kick in. Steve, would you close us in prayer, brother?
Yeah. Dear Lord, I thank you for this amazing team here at WCNO that have come along my mission for you. They've made me feel like a family. I thank you. I have my brother in Christ, John, with me, who's been a huge support. He keeps me accountable. He calls me at all hours. He makes sure I'm okay. He keeps me out of the dark. So I thank you for him. I thank you for Enzo, the dog you gave me, which is God backwards. Unconditional love. Don't forget that. And again, I thank you for this mission, because you've trusted me, a single guy, with this mission to be able to go out and reach out. So here I'm presenting cars to single women, mothers, who might have some struggles and issues with men, because usually men want something in return, and everybody in general.